last time we went through kind of a more of a spiritual aspect of guarding your heart, your family, and the internet, and we talked about guarding our eyes and guarding our heart and where the real problems lie. So who can tell me, when we went over last time, what was the real root of any of the issues that we have on the internet? What's the real root of it?
I wasn't here, but self-control.
Okay, what's the root of problems with self-control? The heart. Sin. Sin is the problem. Anything that goes wrong on the internet, sin is that lies at the root of the problem. And Scripture has a lot to say about purity, and we walked through many different verses that the Scripture had to say about purity. Obviously, the Scripture doesn't talk about the internet. Computers weren't around back then. But we can take those principles, and we definitely can apply them to our lives on what we do on the internet and how to keep ourselves pure in all the content that's out there. So that's all I've got on that. Just cover it real quick. So I'm going to go through different categories of different types of threats that there are out there and what we can do to mitigate against those threats and help try to keep ourselves safe. So the first one is content. There is a threat in the content out there if you guys haven't noticed. So here's one statistic. I talked about this last week just real briefly or last time. One site, this is just one quote-unquote adult site, boasted 21.2 billion visits in 1 year, in 2015. That's 6,700 visits per second. And they had over 501,000 years of video viewed in 1 year by those visitors. That's how much is out there. And that's one site. One. Every second, there's over almost 30,000 users watching pornography on the internet. So if you don't think it's out there in our homes, in our communities, I'd even dare say in our church family, then we're fooling ourselves. That equates to 40 million American people regularly, not just occasionally, regularly visit these sites. That's 12% of the population of the U.S. 12%. Excuse me? It very well could be. Some of these statistics are a couple years old. It's the most recent I could find. 25% of all search engine requests are querying inappropriate content type material. 2.5 billion emails are sent or received that contain pornography every day. 34% of users on the internet have experienced unwanted pop-ups. This is stuff you're not looking for. This is, hopefully, I'm really hoping that in our church family, we don't have the other problem. But we have this problem. Because sometimes it's just boom, it's there. You didn't look for it, it just pops. One-third of the viewers of pornography on the internet are women. So if you think this is a male problem, you're wrong. This is an every person problem. The average age a child is exposed to pornography on the internet is age 11. How many of you have children or are a child over the age of 11? Chances are, statistically speaking, your kids have seen it. Just flat statistics, your kids have seen it. It's a very sad thing. And if you think it's just computers, you're wrong. Right down here, for millennials, this is what they're using. 60% are using mobile devices, tablets and phones. 60%. So it's not just a computer problem. It's a digital device problem that we're facing. So what can you do other than doing what that guy did? Put some good duct tape across the eyes. Well, here's some ways that you can do it. Install a proxy filter. A proxy filter is either a hardware or software. They come in both. It's a device that gets between you and the World Wide Web and filters out based on categories. So if you guys haven't noticed, the internet here at church is working a little bit differently. Once we switched over to the new wireless SSID, that's because we now have a proxy filter running. And so all of our content is being washed through that proxy filter. So that way, it should at least cut down on the content that can be viewed. And there are many different types of proxy filters. There's hardware, there's software. Usually, at least for me, a multi-layered approach is best. So I do hardware and software. Because what one's going to catch, what one's going to miss, the other one might catch. But either one, please, if you don't have one, get one. If you don't have one and you don't want to pay for one, at least set your DNS settings on your internet to open DNS. It's free, and it's at least a start on how to lock stuff down. It's at least a start. Okay, do not allow use of a computer, especially your children's computers, in a private room. I know none of my coworkers or technology experts in my line of work that allow their children to have computers in their bedrooms. Steve Jobs did not allow his children to even have an iPad. It's not cruelty to not allow your 13-year-old the use of an iPad in locked rooms. That is not child cruelty. That's called good parenting. So do not be afraid to say no. Pet It Kids, do you have an iPad that's all of your own that you can just use whenever you want? No. Do you have a phone? No. There's a reason for that. Monitor your children's web activity. A lot of the proxy filters that are out there will allow you to monitor your children's web activity. Either in live stuff, like your child just tried to hit this site and it'll be a live notification, a monthly or weekly email, you know, these are the exact sites your children went to, or maybe based on content, you know, 11% of the content was news, 15% was shopping, 30% was weapons, 50% was, you know, whatever it is. So monitor that activity. I guarantee you, you might get your eyes opened up. But as a parent, that's a good thing. It's good to catch it before it gets to be a real problem. I would much rather catch the one-off right now and deal with it now at my children's age, 9, 10, 13, 16. I don't worry about Caleb and Sarah too much. I would much rather catch it and deal with it now than let it fester for 5 or 10 or 15 years before I find out about it. And then it's become an addictive problem. So monitor your children's web activity. Wireless device controls. Install something that controls the access to your internet. Proxy filter is what I was talking about before. Here's a couple of them. Circle, I think Greg, you've got Circle. Dan, I think you've got Clean Router. The one I use is Zycel. Again, the tools I play with are a little bit on the pricier side, so that one is pricier than the others. But it also does more than just proxy filtering. It's also antivirus, firewall, stuff like that. And that is what's sitting on the desk back there. So these aren't the only game in town. There are other devices out there. Just there's too many of them that I could not list them all. These are ones that work and work well and are used in the church. They're not 100%. Stuff gets through, which is why it comes back to the monitoring to see what's getting through. No matter how much you think you've got it protected and locked down, I guarantee you I can get through it. I can get through my own protections. It just takes a little bit more work to get through, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to teach you how to get through it. Just know that it can be done, so take those steps. Lock it down, and then monitor the lockdown. Here's some good parental controls. Some of these work on computers. Some of these work on mobile devices. Some of them work on both. Some of them work better to varying degrees than others. But here's some that you can use. Norton Family, that's pretty decent. Kaspersky, I liked Kaspersky all the way right up until the Russian nation passed laws that made it mandatory for Russian companies to cooperate with the Russian government whenever the government said so. And Kaspersky is a Russian company. So I liked Kaspersky right up until I found out that the Russian government said, whenever we want access to your data, you have to give it to us. And so until they move over to the U.S., I'm kind of leery of them now. MM Guardian. Josh, are you still in here? How good is MM Guardian? I've got that thing ratcheted down so tight that it's very, not a whole lot can be seen. If my kids want to look at some stuff, they may have to come and say, hey, could you allow me into, you know, this area? But Josh was over and he threw some terms at it looking for stuff, you know, that's either a common term or an uncommon term, and it didn't work. So as far as parental controls go, MM Guardian will lock down the settings. It'll lock down applications, how many hours a day you can use the device, how many hours a day you can use each application in the device. So you can have one group that they can use all day and one group that they can only use for so long and in between certain times. So it's a really good one. The bad thing is it's only for mobile devices, Android and Apple, iPhone, iPad. And the functionality on the iPhone, iPad is limited because of the way Apple wrote their OS. So the only time, the only device that MM Guardian has full reign on is on Android. I wish they had the same settings for Windows because I'd do it in a heartbeat. Another one is QStudio. It's good. It's a pretty good one for Windows. It's eh for Android. So unfortunately, there isn't a one-stop shop for this kind of stuff. I really wish there was, but there's not. And a lot of these things, a lot of these programs and whatnot, I've got a flyer on the table in the back that's got, it's kind of like a resource sheet that's got them listed out for you, and then also dollar signs for about approximately how much they cost. So the more dollar signs, the more it costs. Alrighty, I know I'm flying through this, but I'm trying to cover what I used to do at work in like 4 or 5 hours. I'm trying to do it in 2 nights and 30 minutes each, so drinking from a fire hose, I apologize for that. Okay, social media threat. Who here thinks that social media is a threat? Yeah, it's a big one. It's not just the worldwide interwebs, it's also social media. So here, who here heard of Operation Babyface? It was a couple of years ago. Operation Babyface was a sting that was done down in Tulare County in California, which is about an hour from where I grew up. It was a human trafficking ring. It was broken by the sheriff's office. The human trafficking ring was trafficking children right here. They got 23 children between the ages of 14 and 17. 23 that were being human trafficked for sex trafficking. Two of them were boys. It's not just girls. It's predominantly girls, but not just girls. Okay? How did they do it? The perpetrator was posing as a young woman on Facebook, befriending their friends, and then getting them to do stuff. But the biggest ruse was playing Pokemon Go. They prepped them. And then they would start doing, you know, little stuff. You know, hey, why don't you come, why don't you do X? Whatever it was, something very, very small. This seems kind of harmless, but that it's something that parents wouldn't want them to do. And then once that action is done, then they'll say, okay, now I want you to do this, or I'm going to tell your parents about the other one. And they just keep ratcheting it up. And they keep asking them to do more and more extreme things until eventually they get them. It happens every day. And unfortunately, our children are not immune. Especially, I don't know if it's such a big problem now. Our law enforcement folks in the church might know better than I do. Well, at least in Alaska over the last couple of years, it's become a big problem. And they're targeting usually girls, as I said, sometimes as young as 9, to kidnap them and abduct them into the sex trafficking trade. And a lot of times, this is how they get them. Social media. It is a huge threat. So please watch your kids' social media. And it is a requirement. The Bleakers told me about this one. Lacey was required to get a Facebook account when she went to college because that's how the college communicated with the students. So some places, it's not just, hey, you can't have that account. Some places, it's required to have the account. And if it's a requirement to have the account in some places, I would argue that it is good when your children get old enough to be able to learn how to handle these things, to get them that account, to start working with them on how to use it with the proper controls in place. So that way when they turn 18 or 19 and they go out to college and all of a sudden they're required to do it and to have something, it's not brand new to them. They've already learned how to use it, they've learned how to use it responsibly, and they've learned how to have proper controls in place. It will help them to not get in so much trouble. And some colleges actually are no longer issuing email addresses. Email is passé. Believe it or not, for the millennial age group, email's not such a big thing. That's like my generation. Us old people know what email is. The millennials really aren't hardly using it. They're using other things. Text messaging, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. So please, work with your children now that they learn how to use these responsibly with the proper controls in place. That way they don't get caught by it later and end up being in real trouble. And where'd the microphone go? What'd you do with the front row? Unfortunately, my computer, for some reason, is telling me my headphones aren't plugged in when they are, so I'm going to have to run this off of the speaker. I'm hoping you're going to be able to see the words. This is a video demonstration of a gentleman who was showing what social media can do. Where are my speakers at? Can you hear that? Most of it's not in English, so try to pay attention to the words if you can see him. You can't? Sorry. When you see these blanked out numbers, he's reading them, telling them what their account numbers are. If it's out there, it can be had. So this is not only a warning about watching what your kids do on social media, watching what you do on social media. It's kind of scary what's out there. Okay, so what can you do? There's a threat of it out there. What can we do to protect against it? First one, I'm sorry, kids. It's not a right to secrecy. It's not a right to privacy. Know your children's passwords.
Amen.
Know your children's passwords. Check on them. Log in as them. See what they're doing. When you have your kids get a social media account, what I don't care what account it is, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it doesn't matter. Make one of the rules be, you must be their friend or follower or whatever it is. So that way, when they post something, you see it. If they don't like the fact that you're their friend on Facebook, guess what? No Facebook. It's that simple. And I'm sorry, kids, that's not cruelty. That's good parenting. Monitor your children's social media. Watch for some of these signs. These are some of the signs of grooming that we talked about earlier that they use in Operation Babyface. This is what they do. And this is some of the symptoms that you'll see from your kids, too. All of a sudden, closing the computer down, changing screens or something when you walk into the room. If they're, you know, if they're sitting there typing away and all of a sudden the mouse goes over and there's a click real quick when you walk by, that's the first question out of your mind ought to be, what did you just minimize? What did you just close? Show it to me. Because if they're wanting to hide it, that's not a good thing, except for maybe Christmas time. All right, keep an eye on your friends and content. Just because it's on Facebook doesn't necessarily mean not only that it's not true, but doesn't necessarily mean that it's good either. There are people that, you know, because of family connections or stuff like that, that on Facebook were friends, but because of stuff that they post all the time, I've unfollowed them. So that way I don't see their posts. So they can message me and I can message them, but I don't see what they post because I don't need to be seeing the F-bombs that they're posting up all the time. So it's not just your children, but watch what your social media content is. Because what did we just sing earlier tonight? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Okay, and I kind of leaned over to Scott and said, be careful, little fingers, what you type. So not all friends post uplifting content. And then OPSEC. Who here is who's either military or not military does not understand the term of OPSEC? Operation Security. It's the old World War II adage of loose lips sink ships. Okay? There is a site that gained notoriety a number of years ago that was called robme.com. And what it did is this program went out and trolled the various social media sites, and they would figure out when you were on vacation, and they'd post your address and the dates you would not be at home. And it had thousands of entries on it. Because people would willingly post out on social media for all the world to see, I'm going to be gone to Hawaii for 3 weeks starting on this date. Because they want their friends to know they're having a great time on vacation. Or they live in Connecticut, but all of a sudden all their pictures are from Hawaii that they're posting out on the internet. How are you posting all these pictures of you on the beach in Hawaii if you live in Connecticut? You must be on vacation. So be careful of what you post out there, okay? Everything you post can and probably will be on the internet till the death of the internet. And I can prove that. I don't have the time to do it tonight, but I can prove that by going to businesses' websites, and I've done this in an exercise. I went to their website, and then I went and grabbed their website from 10 years ago. So I could literally see what their website looked like 10 years previously because it's out there still. It's cached on the internet somewhere. So what happens in Vegas stays on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. It doesn't stay in Vegas anymore. And when it gets on YouTube, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, you name it, when it gets on there, it's on there. In fact, when I applied for the job at the FAA up here and got hired, one of my coworkers said, yeah, I Googled you and looked up some of the stuff that you've posted and written. It's kind of interesting. I'm not that prolific on the internet, but the stuff that I've done there is out there. In fact, if you Google some of this, I've done this as, you know, just research projects. Google my name, and you'll actually see some results from the Reformation conferences that we've done for the church. You'll see the sermons and whatnot that are out there. And they're not that well advertised. They're not like the number one hit on Google, but they're out there. So be careful what you post, because it's going to stay. And who here has heard of Snapchat? Knows what Snapchat is? What's the one claim to fame of Snapchat? It vanishes. It deletes. Guess what? It doesn't. It can still be out there, because even if it deletes, it could still possibly be on Snapchat servers. And just because you send it to somebody and you set it to self-destruct in 5 minutes doesn't stop them from grabbing their device and going like this and taking a screen capture. Or however an iPhone does it. For me, it's a palm swipe. But however the iPhone does it. It doesn't prevent screen captures. It also doesn't prevent somebody from going, hey, look at this, click, and taking a picture of it. Just because you think it's private doesn't mean it's private. And Snapchat used to be a huge hit with teens, because then they can send pictures of themselves to their friends that they didn't want anybody else to see and supposedly thought it would disappear. And there was many people who have been burned by that because they thought it would be gone and it wasn't gone or got forwarded around. So be careful what you put out there. Oh, I'm sorry, it was called pleaserobme.com was the name of the site. Restrict the privacy settings as much as possible. In fact, I even had a friend of mine from California called me because she wanted to be a friend of mine on Facebook, and she couldn't do it because my settings were restricted so well. She's like, I can't even find you on Facebook and send you a friend request. I'm like, good. So I got her contact information and did it. But yeah, that's the way you want it to be done. How many of you have a Facebook account and have seen somebody's post that you have no earthly clue who this person is, and the only reason you see it is because a friend of yours, you know, liked it or commented about it? That's because their security settings are very loose to where the entire world can see their stuff. So it's not your security settings at that point, it's their security settings. Don't let you be them. Lock your settings down to where, the way I have my Facebook settings set, only friends can see what I post and comment and whatnot. Now, you do have to be aware that if Greg posts something on Facebook and his security settings are to where the entire world can see it, and I make a comment, my comment can be seen by the entire world, because that's what his settings are at. So when you make comments and likes and stuff like that, that's not based on your security settings. That's based on his security settings. So there again, be careful what you post. Be careful what you put out there, because you don't know how far it's going to go. How much more time? Okay. So as in a good example, when I was deployed, there was a captain over there who was not the nicest guy in the world. And somebody sent him an email around complaining about him and bad-mouthing him. One of the people that he sent it to just hit reply all without realizing that the captain was in the to box. So the captain got the email of people above him and below him complaining about him. So he simply hit the reply all saying, if you guys have something to say, please say it to my face. Be careful what you put out there, because you don't know how far it's going to be seen. Another good example. There was an Army staff sergeant that I met who was in the infantry. He used to be an Air Force officer as an F-15 pilot. But he got out of the Air Force, got his law degree. Years later, September 11th happens, and he wanted to go back into the Air Force as an attorney, and they said, sorry, you're too old. So kind of as a joke, he went into Army Recruiter, and the Army's like, yeah, we'll take you. So he wanted to serve again, so he joined up and became a staff sergeant. He was deployed over to Iraq, and he didn't like the way things the Army did things. Being the Air Force guy, being an officer, he kind of thought that the way the Army ran things, especially if they're enlisted, was kind of stupid. So one of the examples that he gave us was they needed to go in, and his squad was providing overwatch for another squad that was going after a terrorist. So they marched down the way they're supposed to, and they said they were marching through about boot-high sewage down the alley to their overwatch point. So they get through it, they get up to the top, they do the mission. As they're on the top of the building, the alley right next to where they walked down was perfectly clean. Their orders were to walk back down the alley they had walked down. So he radioed back. He said, hey, we're going to walk down the alley that's right next to it. They said, no. He said, but we just walked through, you know, boot-high sewage, and the one right next to it was perfectly clean. And they said, no, you're going to walk back the way you came. That's your orders. So he wrote this all up in an email, sent it off to a friend of his from the Air Force Academy. His friend from the Air Force Academy by this time was a 3-star general, deputy commander of the Pacific Air Forces, or PACAF. And he wrote the email saying, your eyes only. The reply he got back from his friend was, I'm sorry, this was too good. I couldn't keep it to myself. About a month later, they were called into an all-hands call when the entire unit was called in, and they read his email to the unit. They didn't say who they got it from. But when his unit rotated home, they made it perfectly clear they know who wrote the email, even if they didn't have his name, because his entire unit went home, and he stayed behind for another 2 months of convoy security duty by himself. He was the only one to remain behind. They made it perfectly clear they knew who did it. So just because you think it's going to be private doesn't mean it's going to be private. All right. I've kind of gotten through what I was hoping to get through tonight. I talked really fast. Does anybody have any questions? Open DNS. Open DNS is a site you can go to. It's OpenDNS. I think it's .org. DNS is domain name service. So, I typed in DSN. Military coming back to me. So that's OpenDNS. And what they do is they have you set the DNS settings on your router, which for most people is the wireless box that gives you wireless in your house. There is a setting in those wireless boxes for where you can specifically set a DNS server, and it's an IP address. Most of the time, by default, it's checked to get your DNS settings from your ISP or from your internet provider. And that's fine, it works. But what DNS does is they provide a kind of a first-level proxy filter. So you type their IP addresses into your DNS settings, and then all of your traffic goes through their equipment before it goes out to the internet. So what a DNS is the domain name service. You and I type foxnews.com. Foxnews.com does not reside at foxnews.com. It resides at 69.25.32.57 or some IP address. But nobody wanted to advertise on their business cards. You know, Greg Vaughn, pastor, church in Wildwood, come visit me at 10.32.27.51. Nobody's going to remember that. So thus they created the URLs, or Universal Resource Listing, reaching back into my old days here, or the www.foxnews.com. So it's a human-readable site, but that always will translate back to an IP address. You get a little more technical, that IP address will actually translate to a MAC address that goes to the actual NIC on the machine. Network interface card. That's the piece of hardware in your computer that makes the internet work.
And why do I want to do that? Okay.
So OpenDNS, they provide like the first layer of proxy filtering, of content control. So like if you set your DNS settings to DNS, open DNS and their IP addresses, stuff like Playboy should not get through. Yep. Yeah, and how they pay for themselves is they're free, but if you want monitoring and notifications based on it, then it's like a $20 a year or something like that fee. It's something very, very nominal, and that's how they make their money. Right. Yeah, so Clean Router you're paying for, Open DNS you're not. And just because you have Clean Router doesn't mean that Clean Router may let site A through that Open DNS may catch. Right, exactly. It's always good to have both. It's always good. More is always better. In microreferral is what we call defense in depth. So it's not just one layer of defense. It's more than one. Usually you're not slowing it down too terribly. So for Open DNS, you're trusting on their equipment to be fast because all of your internet traffic is going to wash through their system. I've used it before and it's pretty decent. You know, you really don't notice it slowing down really. Because internet, like you said, internet now today it's pretty good. It's not the 56K modem or the 2600 baud modem that I used to use. Yes, I just dated myself. Anything else? Any others? Yeah.
So with the Facebook privacy, one thing that I think is frustrating is that they're always changing.
Yes. And so you got to review them.
So do you just periodically go in and review them because they don't give you notifications?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, whenever I think about it, 3 months, 6 months, every year, something like that, you know, just whenever I'm bored, which is a joke in my life, usually it's whenever it just pops into my head, or most of the time what'll happen is I'll see something that makes me go, why can I see that? That should not be. And then I go check my settings. Because like you said, they'll change their settings. I'll see somebody comment on something I posted that I don't know who they are. And I'll be like, wait a second here. They shouldn't even be able to see this to comment on it. What happened? And I'll go check my settings again. And then I think maybe once or twice I've checked Facebook settings where I didn't have to change anything because it was good. Most of the time I've got to change something because they're constantly updating their site and updating their settings and their privacy laws and whatnot. So it's a constant battle. Yeah, Josh. It's not? Is it on my list that I put down? Because it should be. Okay. So apparently I missed one. As I said, there's a lot of them out there. Covenant Eyes is another good one for notifications and parental controls. It, as far as I know, because I don't use it, but as far as I know, it will not control apps. It will not control anything like that. It controls and filters the content, and then it will send a report to whoever you specify. Like if I used Covenant Eyes, I could set it to Christy would get a report of all of my internet traffic. So she could see all of the sites that I went to and what I was looking at. So it's an accountability check.
So we use Covenant Eyes and Open DNS is what we have. It does pretty well for the monitoring and basic level proxy filtering.
Right. Yeah. Right. So text monitoring on Apple, I don't know of any products that will monitor text messages on Apple products. And that's because of the Apple OS software. Just the way Apple wrote their software, their apps can't interface to that level unless you jailbreak it. If you jailbreak it, then you pretty much have free reign over the system. Android, however, MMGuardian will monitor text messages where you can actually see your kids' text messages on their phone. So will what? QStudio? Okay. So yeah, there's different software out there. Some of them do it to other levels better than others. Unfortunately, there's not one solution that's like the best for everything. It's like that product A is best for this and product B is best for that, which is where the defense in depth comes in. Michael? You can hook up as many as you want. All a firewall will do, and I'll tell you this for, as a security expert, all a firewall does is slow the bad guy down. It's just like a lock on your front door. It keeps the honest people honest. Because I guarantee, who here can guarantee their house is 100% burglar-proof? I can't guarantee that any computer is 100% safe. It eventually can be gotten into, as proven by the fact that RSA was hacked a couple of years ago. Sony's been hacked. Every year the CIA holds a contest to see who can hack them, and every year somebody gets in. So if the CIA can get hacked, do you think we can get hacked? Yeah. I guarantee you their stuff's better than our stuff. Okay. Anything else? Alrighty.